Our theme this Lent has been everything in between, meeting God in the midst of extremes. Every week we have looked at seeming contrasts like lost and found through the lens of Jesus' stories and parables. Today is no different. Today we are reading the Easter story and then discussing grief and hope as we search for God in between the two. Our gospel reading this Easter morning is the resurrection story from Luke's gospel. Listen for God's word to you from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to the disciples an idle tale, and they did not believe the women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. I saw a cartoon this week. It shows a tomb cut out of a hillside, presumably Jesus' tomb. The stone door has been rolled away. The interior is empty, except for a white cloth thrown over a stone bench. There is a bright golden light pouring out of the tomb. Two women are outside the tomb. One of them is on her knees, hands raised in joy. The woman behind her is holding a basket full of little bags. She has a sour look on her face as she looks over her shoulder, griping to someone behind her. "I sure hope you kept the receipt for these spices." Completely missing the point of Easter and the joy of the resurrection. But maybe the cartoonist is not completely off course, because according to Luke's gospel, it took a minute for the women at the tomb to find their joy. They came to the tomb that morning to wash and to prepare Jesus' body for burial. That's why the cranky woman had a basket full of spices. It's important to know what the women experienced over the course of the last week of Jesus' life. The women were there when Jesus was crucified. They were there when he died. When Joseph of Arimathea asked for Jesus' body from Pilate, they were there. When he took Jesus' body and laid it in a tomb, they were there. And then they had to wait for the end of the Sabbath so that they could be there bright and early to prepare his body. What a terrible surprise then to find the tomb empty and the body gone. These were the same women who traveled with Jesus and the disciples supporting their ministry. They knew and loved Jesus. They internalized his teaching and believed in him. For them, that first Easter was full of grief and sorrow and trauma. There was no joy and no hope in their journey to the tomb because their hope died on a Roman cross. It seems to me that the United States is full of grief right now, unresolved grief. because we are in a culture that does not process or discuss grief. Historically, there were mourning rituals, elaborate ways to express grief publicly. In the Hebrew Bible, people mourned by wailing and crying, tearing their clothes, and pouring ashes over their head. As we've become more clinical about death, moving the sick and the dying from the home to the hospital, we've become ever more uncomfortable with death. It's harder to express and to resolve our grief, which means that for many, grief can be a very lonely place. Right now, it seems to me that we are grieving. At least half of this country is grieving. Not only our personal losses, but also our public losses. What is happening in our country right now is breaking our hearts and causing us grief, which compounds whatever losses we suffer in private. Grief is, of course, a natural part of being human. All of us will grieve at some point in our lives because loss is a part of life. We lose our jobs, we lose relationships, we lose houses and cars and money, we lose our youth and our independence and sometimes our innocence, and most painful of all, we lose people we love. It happens to all of us. Sometimes, many times, grief also causes us to lose hope. Maybe the loss is overwhelming and the pain is too much. We cannot see the light for the darkness, and we lose hope. The Easter story begins in trauma and grief, but that is not where it ends. It ends with hope. When the women could not find the body, Luke wrote, they were perplexed. Two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. Angels, maybe. The angels said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember. They advised the women to remember. Remember what Jesus said to you. Remember the way he talked about his own death. Remember all that he taught you. Remember. In 2019, 2 months after Anderson Cooper's mother died, he interviewed Stephen Colbert on CNN about grief. Did anybody else see that interview? Yes. It is beautiful, and it is well worth watching. You can still find it on YouTube. Anderson Cooper wanted to talk to Stephen Colbert because Colbert is open about his own grief, and the two of them have a lot in common because both of them lost their fathers at 10 years old. Colbert's father and his two older brothers died in a plane crash. Cooper's father died after open heart surgery, and then years later, his only brother took his own life. Since his mother's death, Anderson Cooper is the only surviving member of his nuclear family. So naturally, he wanted to talk about grief and talk about it with someone who knows it well. During the interview, Stephen Colbert, who is a practicing Catholic and a committed Christian, he quoted J.R.R. Tolkien, who's the author of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. The quote was unexpected. Here's what he said. What punishments of God are not gifts. What punishments of God are not gifts. Colbert was saying, in essence, that he has learned to love the thing that he most wishes had never happened. The most painful event in his life, he has come to love. In response, Cooper asked him an excellent question. Do you really believe that? And Colbert went on to explain it in this way. Yes, it's a gift to exist. And with existence comes suffering. There's no escaping that. But if you are grateful for your life, then you have to be grateful for all of it. And so at a young age, I suffered something so that by the time I was in serious relationships in my life with friends or with my wife or with my children, I have some understanding that everybody is suffering, and however imperfectly, acknowledge their suffering and connect with them and love them in a deep way that makes you grateful for the fact that you have suffered so that you know that about other people. And then he said this, I want to be the most human I can be, and that involves acknowledging and ultimately being grateful for the things that I wish didn't happen because they gave me a gift. End quote. Listen to that last part again. I want to be the most human I can be, and that involves acknowledging and ultimately being grateful for the things that I wish didn't happen because they gave me a gift. Well, that will take your breath away, won't it? And I want to add a disclaimer right here. You do not have to be grateful for every hurt and every loss in your life. Some wounds are too deep and too devastating, and only you can know if and when you can be grateful for them or not. But I think Colbert is talking about a particular form of grief and loss, and this is how he's come to process and understand it over a long period of time. And what I find most moving about his response is that his grief is not gone, which is how it works, right? Grief never truly goes away. It changes and it lessens, but it's always there. And grief can also be informed and transformed by life with God. And I think that is also what Stephen Colbert was saying, that huge loss helped him go deeper into his love for his missing father and brothers, and he's used that suffering to form more loving relationships with friends and family. And that is hope. Hope that grief and loss can be transformed. Hope that our lost loved ones are not truly lost. Hope that love can survive terrible loss. When the angels asked the women to remember Jesus, to remember his love for them and their love for him, to remember all that he had said to them, the angels were inviting them to hope again, to hope for resurrection and new life. Easter reminds us that God is there at every step in between grief and hope. God is with us, inviting us to hang on, to remember what we know and believe to be true, and to live into that knowledge. So no matter where you are on the spectrum of grief and hope on this Easter morning, please hang on to these things. Followers of Jesus are Easter people, hopeful people, who believe that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot put it out. We are hopeful people who believe in the transforming, redemptive power of God's love. We are also hopeful people who believe in all kinds of resurrection and new life. And we believe these things despite all evidence to the contrary, and we believe these things even through tears of grief and loss because we are hopeful Easter people. On this Easter morning, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.